In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. You have prepared for those who love you such good things as surpass our understanding. It's from the Collect. Loving you in all things and above all things, may we obtain your promises which exceed all that we can desire. And in the Gospel today, Jesus says that my joy might be in you. Joy that the Father and the Son share with each other in the power of the Holy Spirit, that my joy might be in you, and that your joy might be complete. For us to have good things that surpass our understanding, for us to have our desires fulfilled beyond any expectation, and for us to have complete joy. These are the promises that he makes. They're promises for a really and truly good life. I'll start today with a story about a movie. There's a book that's just come out, and I was listening to a review of it. The name of the book is Faith in Film, and it's a collection of essays, and they're about some different films, some where faith is featured, some where people are pictured struggling with faith, some which are kind of anti-faith in every way. But one of the movies that was talked about was a movie that I didn't see, but maybe some of you saw it. It came out in 2009. It was called Up in the Air, and it was starred George Clooney. Any of you see that in the film? No. It was Up in the Air. It was about George Clooney, and it caught a lot of people's attention because the man was a frequent flyer, and he was about to pass the 10 million mile mark. And get a special credit card that only people who had gone 10 million miles could possibly get. He was a downsizing expert. The character was a downsizing expert. Which means what? Which means that his profession was firing people. And he spent 320, in the movie, he spends 320 days a year flying from town to town, from city to city, firing people with great expertise. And not without a little compassion. He stays in the best hotels. He eats in the best restaurants. He has the perquisites that only the top of the top of frequent flyers get, you know, the airport lounges and things like that. He skips the lines that most people have to wait in. His rental car is always there waiting for him. He doesn't have to wait for it. That's his life. He has a side gig, and his side gig is that he's a motivational speaker. And his pitch is to take a tip from a frequent flyer and travel light, declutter. Don't have a lot of things to weigh you down. He does have a lover. The woman is another frequent flyer. And every once in a while, they end up in the same airport, in the same city at the same time. So they're ships that mostly pass in the night, but not all together. He has no binding commitments. He is maximally free in the way that the modern world understands freedom. Modern world understands freedom as the minimum constraints. The fewer constraints you have, the more free you are. I've talked about that before. Karl Marx says a person is free to the degree that they're not dependent. If they're dependent, then they're not free. Therefore, you don't want there to be a God, because if you were a God, you'd be ultimately dependent. And if you were ultimately dependent, you'd be ultimately unfree. It's a very different understanding of freedom. This empty freedom that is the freedom of the modern world. In the ancient world, both Christians and pagans both believed that freedom was something to be sought, that it was a good to be had. But what it meant was that you would be free, and even a slave could do this, you would be free to pursue the good life. The good life would be the life that was proper and proportionate to a rational being like you. And that good life might involve many commitments and obligations. But he's free in the modern sense. He has no binding commitments, no loyalty to person or place that ties him down. He has what the Italian philosopher, I've talked to you about him before, I'm a fan, Augusto Del Noce is the man's name. He is dead now, but he was kind of a wizard. He predicted many things, including the collapse of the Soviet Union back in the 1960s when nobody could see that. But he made a distinction between the affluent life and the good life. And this Clooney character has what he would call, the Italian philosopher calls, the affluent life or the life of well-being. Professional and financial success. Reaping the rewards reserved for the privileged few, indeed the privileged few. A life of maximum freedom because it has a minimum of binding commitments. And the name of the film, therefore, is This Life. How do you describe this life? It's a life up in the air. Right? And of course, what's up in the air usually has to come down. So the rest of the film is about gravity kicking in. Won't spoil it for you. It's an interesting film. What goes up must come down. How about the 10 million miles? How about that? Jesus tells a story, doesn't he, one time about a man who had great possessions, and he wanted to have even more, and he tore down his barn so he could build a bigger one, and then found out that night his soul was required of him. It's a characteristic of our contemporary world that, as the philosopher Del Noce says, we mistake the affluent life, the life of well-being, for the good life, the life that is proper to the dignity of our human nature and that can satisfy our deepest desires, and that we mistake freedom from commitment and obligation with the freedom proper to our human nature, which is the freedom to become Christian now. What is Christian freedom? It's the freedom to become whole and holy. It's this saying is ascribed to so many people. It's ascribed to Thomas Merton, but I think a lot of people said it before him. It's a French writer named Blois, who I know said it, and I think he got it from some saint, that the only great sadness is not to have become a saint, not to have become whole and holy. We are made with desires that can never be satisfied with the things of this world alone. Whatever we get, there's always a hunger that is not yet satisfied. The goods of this world are fine in their place. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Our hearts are restless, St. Augustine says, until they rest in God. We have a hunger for eternity. And a 10 million mile credit card is a pretty paltry thing as a substitute for that. We need freedom. We need the freedom to commit ourselves without reservation and irrevocably. We need freedom to pursue the genuinely good life, the life that's proper to our human nature, the life that can only be had by growing in the love of God and of each other, only by growing in commitment to God and to each other. There's a desire in us for more than the good things of this world. There's a desire for nobility and greatness. It's deep in the human heart. And there has to be something that's capable of upholding this desire. And there's nothing in this world that's strong enough to uphold it and won't turn sour on us if we put it in the place where God needs to be. When this desire of ours, this desire for eternity, this desire for a truly good, true, and noble life, when this desire is not properly ordered towards God, it becomes disordered, and it creates disorder. And we're seeing that now on our college campuses. The innate human desire to have a true and noble life because we serve a true and noble cause becomes twisted and disordered and perverted into a kind of frantic and ranting and ignorant and naive politics, which inevitably courts violence. Jesus has come to give us a different kind of life, an eternal and abundant life, a share in and through him in the life and the joy that he has with the Father. He promises us such things as exceed all our desires. And he wins this life for us, which exceeds our desires, by loving us as the Father has loved him. He loves us without restraint, with nothing held back, even to death of the cross. He loves us not because we deserve it, but because he's gracious, self-sacrificing, seeking, searching love. He loves us not in proportion to our goodness, but in order that we might be saved and become good and have the abundant life which passes all understanding. The abundant life is abundant because it is perfectly conformed to God's will. It's maximally obligated. It perfectly hears and obeys the commandment to love God with our whole heart and our neighbors as ourselves. We don't naturally have this life, this abundant life. It's his life. He brings it to us. He sets it aside. He lays it down so that he can take it up. He lays it down in the death of the cross so that he can take it up again in the resurrection, so that then he, in the power of the Holy Spirit, he can give it to us as a gift. This life is his gift to us in and through the Holy Spirit. And when we see how he has loved us, we're able, and even here we're requiring the assistance of the Holy Spirit, but when we see how he's loved us in such a disproportionate way, beyond all deserving, and even here with the grace of the Holy Spirit, when we see this, we're able to come to repentance, sorrow for the ignoble thing that our life is, and receive from him this life of constraint, commitment, and obligation. Now, what do we say when we recognize that suddenly we recognize we are on the receiving end of an undeserved, disproportionately kind and abundant mercy? What do we say when someone has been kind to us beyond any expectation? What do we say? We say, much obliged. Much obliged. This life of hearing and obeying, of peace which passes understanding, of joy beyond finding out, of the fulfillment of desire beyond expectation. This is the life which is ours through the water of the baptism and the blood that flows from the wounded side of the Savior on the cross and that fills the chalices of our altars. This life that is given to us as a gift by him and through, is given to us by the Father and the Son and through the Holy Spirit. This life of the crucified and risen one. This life which is abundant and which bears fruit and is given to us that we might go out into the world and bear fruit. This is the really, truly good life. And the life of well-being is a very paltry thing in comparison. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.